Vayidaber Elohim el Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Adonai, Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov, Be'el Shaddai Ushmi Adonai, Lo Nodati Lahem. Vigam hakimosi es berisi itam, lases lahem es eretz kinaan eis, eretz megurehem asher garuva. Vigam ani shamati, es naakas b'nei Yisrael, asher mitzrayim ma'avidim osam, vo'ezkor es berisi. Lachein emor livnei Yisrael, Ani Adonai, v'hotzeisi eschem, mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, v'hitzalti eschem me'avodasam, v'ga'alti eschem bizroa nituya, uveshvatim gidolim, velakachti eschem li laam, vahayisi lachem leilohim vidatem, ki ani Adonai Eloheichem, hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, vehevesi eschem el haaretz, asher nasasi es yadi, laseis osah, li Avraham, li Yitzchak, uli Yaakov, vinasati osah lachem, morasha ani Adonai. God spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Hashem. I appeared to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov as Kael Shakai, but with my name Hashem, I did not make myself known to them. Moreover, I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojourning, in which they sojourned. Moreover, I have heard the groan of the children of Israel, whom Egypt enslaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem, and I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I shall rescue you from their service. I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I shall take you to me for a people, and I shall be a God to you, and you shall know that I am Hashem your God, who takes you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I shall bring you to the land about which I raised my hand to give to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I shall give it to you as a heritage. I am Hashem. OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I am your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Va'era. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 24th day of Tevet, 5775, corresponding this year to January 15th. This Shabbat we bench Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which means we announce, among other things, that Rosh Chodesh Shvat will be on Wednesday, talking about next Wednesday, the 21st of January. Haba Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael L'Tova. The Rosh Chodesh of Shvat is a single day because in our fixed calendar, Tevet has always 29 days. And any 29-day month is followed by a single day, Rosh Chodesh, of the following month.
What was that?
It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare, and it certainly wasn't well done.
I couldn't resist putting in that little clip from Statler and Waldorf, my two favorite characters on The Muppet Show, because the theme at the beginning of the show was The Muppet Show, which I think most people would identify. And the reason I chose it is the same reason that I had as two little footer icons, we call them, or dingbats. I had Kermit the Frog on one side of the page number and the character known as Animal on the other side, representing plague number 2, the plague of frogs, and plague number 4, Arov, wild animals. The show also has Miss Piggy. I don't know if you called her a wild animal, although if you remember the show, she could get pretty loud. And Fozzie Bear, and Gonzo, whatever animal he is, etc. So I felt that the Muppets would start us off. And the Statler and Waldorf piece is just for fun. So that's that story. We made a serious, show in Torah Tidbits this week in joining in the grief and the mourning for the victims of terror in France. We had actually two full pages, one with a memorial and one with an article written by our director, Rabbi Avi Berman, who was at the funerals this week, and we're not stopping just with that. It brings to mind for me the expression, Uvachol Makom Shehem, when we bench Rosh Chodesh this Shabbat, as well as every time we bench Rosh Chodesh. We say, among other things, after the day of Rosh Chodesh is announced, we have a little prayer to God that the month ahead should be blessed as well as the Jewish people. And the wording is as follows. Yichadasheu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleinu V'al Kol Amo Beit Yisrael B'chol Makom Shehem. May God renew this month for us and for all his people of the house of Israel, wherever they are. L'tova v'livracha, for good and for blessing, l'sason l'simcha, for gladness and joy, etc., etc., including ul geshamim be'it, vili geshamim be'itam, and for rain in its due season, which we have been blessed nicely so far this winter. But the point is, we make a comment that we are not restricting our petition to God for blessing just to the Jews who live in Israel. It's Al Kol Amo Beit Yisrael, Jews all over, Bechol Makom Shehem, wherever they be. Would we like to see the Jews of France come on Aliyah? Yes. Would we like to see the Jews of North America, United States and Canada come on Aliyah? Yes. And we would like to see all the Jews of the world here. We have plenty of room for them, and that certainly is not a problem. It would be only a blessing, and it will fit very well into what I want to talk about from Parshat Vaera. We'll get there. So, with the recognition of the sadness that gripped the Jewish community around the world for the events in France last week, we again say Psalm 130, speaking to God from the depths and ask him for salvation. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai mi'amod, ki imcha haslicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifdeh et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzarao v'ashivya, ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv, v'nomar amen. Okay, as you might have noticed, the reading from the beginning of the parsha was much longer than usual. I read not just the first verse, or the first two verses, as I occasionally do, but the first eight verses. No, actually seven. Eight. First eight verses, because they contain a very, very important prophecy by God to Moshe and from Moshe to the people of Israel. And they are really the beginning of the whole redemption geula process. The very opening verse, very instructive here, because we have a flurry of different names for God. Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe. Let's take just that first. Vayedaber, and God spoke to Moshe. Vayedaber is the harsher speaking to rather than a softer conversing. So God is about to speak to Moshe divrei kashot, tough words. Elokim is God's name that represents strict judgment. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the very end of Parshat Shemot last week, complained to God that God had sent him to free the people, and even though God had warned him that Paro would not listen, Moshe, I don't think, anticipated that Paro would make an impossible demand on the people, increasing their burden, because he did not supply them anymore with straw, and their quota of bricks from which they made from the straw stayed the same, and they had to go out and cut and collect their own straw. And Moshe basically says to God, why did you send me? Why did you make it worse for these people? And why did you send me? From the time I came to Paro to speak in your name, it just got worse. And I certainly didn't save your people. At the end of the Seder last week, God says to Moshe, now you will see what I am doing to Paro, because this will lead to the Exodus. But in the opening words of Vo'era, Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe, almost you're getting ready to hear God castigating Moshe for the lack of faith that God knows what he's doing, especially since God told him in advance that Paro would refuse to listen. But immediately after those words of Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe, the Torah switches to important wordings. Vayomer Elav, and God said to him, not spoke to him tough words, but conversed with him, said to him, Ani Hashem, using the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei name rather than Elokim, implies Midat Harachamim. It's as if God says, up till now, the enslavement in Egypt and the bitter oppression was ruled by me, says God, in my guise as Elokim. And at this point, I will still continue to deal with Egypt as Elokim, but my relationship to Bnei Yisrael is now going to emerge as the connotation of the name Hashem, that of mercy. And then God continues, and he says, as far as the names are concerned, the name I used more with the ancestors was Kael Shakai, and I did not teach them the meaning and the workings of the name Hashem. I also established a covenant with them to give them Eretz Yisrael, the land of Canaan. And I also have heard the cries and the groan of the people in Mitzrayim, Vo'ezkor et Briti, and I remember my covenant. Lachain, therefore, say to the people of Israel, Ani Hashem, explain to them what Hashem means, and that things are now going to be mercy for the Jewish people and strict judgment for the Egyptians. Ani Hashem. What comes next within three verses are the famous terms of redemption. There are five terms of redemption in the traditional sources that we have, four of which are the basis of the four cups of wine at the Seder, corresponding one cup to each of the terms. And I've said it in the past, but I'll repeat it briefly now. I really see eight terms of redemption. But let's break down these verses. The first verse, which is counted as three terms of redemption, includes the promises of God of Vehotzeiti, Vehitzalti, Vigo'alti. I will take you out, I will save you, and I will redeem you. Commentaries explain the need for these three levels of being taken out of Egypt, physically taken out of Egypt, out of the mentality of a slave to Egypt, and another psychological kind of freedom, which is not necessarily concomitant with physically being taken out. You can still be a slave in your mind. So the Torah uses these three terms, Vehotzeiti, Vehitzalti, Vegaalti, when it talks about taking the people, us, out of Egypt. Comes the second verse and continues the promise and the prophecy. Velokachti etchem li la'am, God says, I will take you to me as a nation, v'hayiti lachem le'lokim, and I will be your God. In other words, we will enter into a covenant. This is generally understood as referring to revelation at Sinai, where we received the Torah and made this mutual commitment between God and the people of Israel. And even though the fourth term of redemption covers this whole verse, I would like to break it up into three terms, because Vilokachti etchem li la'am, I will take you unto me as a nation, needs to be separated in our thinking from V'hayiti lachem le'lokim, and I will be for you God. Because that touches on the topic of the mutuality that I referred to. In other words, God has to take us and we have to accept him. And that is what happened during revelation at Sinai. There's a third component to that same verse, which, if we're separating Vehotzeiti, Vehitzalti, Vegaalti into three, then I would like to suggest, at least in our academic playing with it, to separate Vilokachti, Vahayiti, and Vidatem. You will know that it is I who took you out of Egypt. At revelation at Sinai, the first words out of God's mouth, so to speak, were Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It does not say, I am God who created the world. It identifies himself, he identifies himself as having taken the people out of Egypt, and that knowledge that this was not an emancipation proclamation by the benevolent turned king of Egypt, this was an act of God who took us out of Egypt. That's why Paro repeatedly refused to let us go, and when he finally gives in, it certainly is not to his credit, because he was under such tremendous pressure from the 10 plagues, especially the 10th, Makat Bechorot, but it was God who took us out of Egypt. So the second verse of the three that I referred to is also composed of three facets of making this covenant with God, namely that he takes us to him as a nation, favorite status, so to speak, chosen people, that we accept God in the form of Na'aseh v'nishma, whatever God says we will do, and the knowledge that becomes part of the Jewish heritage throughout the generations is that God took us out of Egypt. No other way did we get out of Egypt, or would we get out of Egypt. Next comes the third verse in this prophecy, and represents a third phase, we'll say, of the whole process. And that is traditionally the fifth lashon, the fifth term of redemption. But again, I see it as I've already added four, five, and six, and I would like to break this one up into two. Because God says two things there. He says, first, V'heveti etchem, I will bring you, them, referring to the people, to the land which I raise my hand in oath to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to give it to them, and V'natati ota lochem morasha, I will give it to you as a heritage, to me is a separate, a way of looking at it separately. V'natati, in addition to V'heveti. Hold that thought, we'll be right back. I am hoping that some of the listeners, at least, are snapping their fingers and racking their brains, saying that's very familiar, but they can't place it, and I'm not going to tell you this time what it was. I'll leave it as the Muppets for the first half and unknown for the second half. Okay, until now, what I have said about the terms of redemption are things that I've said in the past, and I have a new approach, which I'm testing out. It's different, because what I have presented in the past is that this is the outline or the guidelines of God's plan, and we are not free to choose verse number 1 and number 2 and leave 3, or choose 3 and leave 1 or 2. In other words, it's a package deal, and that's how I have presented it in the past. And one of the things that calmed me in that direction was the use of a vav, which can be conjunctive and can also flip tense. Now here's the discussion, which is a technical point from Dikduk, but it impacts a little bit about what I'm going to say. V'hotzeiti etchem is that I will take them out, or I shall take them out. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am Hashem, and I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. But then, I'm reading in the Stone Chumash of Art Scroll, he continues on V'hitzalti, not as and I shall rescue you, but I shall rescue you. In other words, here's the question. When you say, chalav udvash, you mean milk and honey. The vav there, which is pronounced u because of certain reasons, is a conjunctive vav. Sometimes the vav also switches the tense of the verb. For example, vaydaber. Yidaber means he will speak. Vaydaber means he spoke. Does it mean he spoke, or does it mean and he spoke? If you say it means he spoke, you're saying that the vav is not a conjunctive vav, but is a vav hahipuch, a vav that switches tense from past, from future to past in this case. And in the case of a hotzeiti, it switches from hotzeiti, which means I took them out, to vehotzeiti, I will take them out. So the use of the and is apparently sparse in the Art Scroll Chumash English, and Rav Aryeh Kaplan also in the Living Torah. And I'm not really sure which side of that dispute I fall. I have always felt, and I translate, any vav that is also a tense-flipping vav, I keep it as a conjunctive in addition. So, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe means to me, and God spoke to Moshe. Vayomer elav, and he said to him, Ani Hashem. I'm looking again in the English, and they don't have that. God spoke to Moshe, okay, and said to him. So they do use an and here. So I would have to say, without looking through the whole English here, that sometimes there's an and sometimes there isn't. The reason I'm bringing that up, I don't mean to get bogged down in the dikduk of it, otherwise I would talk about the switch of the accent in the one case of the vav hahipuch, which I'm not going to speak about now. I wrote about it. But the reason I bring it up is to ask or to ponder how closely connected these three statements are. Vehotzeiti, vehitzalti, vegoalti. I'll give it to you as three phases of redemption. When we get to the next pasuk, velokachti etchem li la'am, here in the Art Scroll, he says, I shall take you to me for a people. I'm not happy with that, because I would rather see it as, and I will take you. And the and is does not leave room to choose and say, we are free from Egypt, we could do anything we want. No, freedom from Egypt comes along, as evidenced by a vav, by the next phase, which is God taking us as a nation to him, and he becoming our God, and our knowing. And the third part, his bringing us to the land which he promised to our ancestors, and his giving it to us. If you look at the and, then you can claim that these are all connected, even though Mrs. Ehrlich, my 7th grade English teacher, and Mrs. Silver, my 8th grade English teacher, might not approve of using and in so many phrases in the same sentence. That's what the Torah uses, a lot of vavs. The question is whether when a vav switches tense, does it drop its main function as a conjunction, a conjunctive vav? Leaving that aside, we have three verses, and you take a breath between each verse and the next, and therefore there is a way of separating this plan. I have three plans, God says to the people of Israel. Number one, taking them out of Egypt. Number two, revelation at Sinai and entering into the covenant with them. Number three, the giving them Eretz Yisrael. Or do you say, I have a plan that has three parts? A, taking them out of Egypt, and B, revelation at Sinai, and C, going into Eretz Yisrael. Sounds a little picky to distinguish between numbering them 1, 2, and 3, as opposed to A, B, and C, lowercase, let's say. But my meaning is how complete and connected are all the components of this deal. Now, here's where it gets a little complicated. At the Seder table, we have the traditional four terms of redemption, which, corresponding to which, we drink a cup of wine, and they are v'hitzalti, v'hotzeti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, and v'lokachti etchem li la'am, which means, in some way, the first two verses are connected, part of the Seder experience, even though technically it is Shavuot rather than Pesach that commemorates the revelation at Sinai. But the fourth term of redemption is included in Leil HaSeder, proof of which is we drink four cups, and it makes a statement that there is no meaning to being taken out, saved, and redeemed from Egypt without the commitment, mutual commitment, between God and the people of Israel. What about the fifth term, which is Veheveti, and I will bring you? Well, we don't have five cups of wine. Wait a minute, we do. The fifth cup of wine is poured, is filled, is not usually drunk by people. I understand that there are some people, maybe I know one or two personally, who drink five cups of wine at the Seder, not just four. But most people fill the cup of Eliyahu, the cup of Elijah, as a projection towards the future, that Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Eliyahu HaNavi, in his role as the harbinger of the Messianic era, will complete the process of redemption. Furthermore, when we say Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuya, next year in rebuilt Jerusalem, furthermore, the Dayenu song at the Seder begins with Ilu Hotzionu Mimitzrayim, if you would have taken us out of Egypt, and not this, but even if you did that, and not that, and you did that, but not that, takes us through the Exodus, to the splitting of the sea, to the sojourn in the Midbar, to revelation at Sinai, to the receiving of the Torah, Shabbat before that, to entering Eretz Yisrael and the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So certainly the poet of that song took the entire experience and gave it in the 15 lines of Dayenu, and then we follow that by saying, how much more so do we have to thank God, double and triple and quadruple, because he did this, that, and built us the Beit HaMikdash. There's almost a little bit of a split, a dichotomy, between the Seder Haggadah when we are still in exile without a Beit HaMikdash, compared with or contrasted with the Haggadah experience, the Seder experience, when we do have a Beit HaMikdash. And there's almost a feeling that there's sort of an ambivalence in the Haggadah about whether to include that fifth term of redemption in earnest or not. Add to this another idea. The Mishnah, after it tells about a whole bunch of curious things that are done, it finally says, and at this point the child asks questions. V'im ein dat babein, and if the child doesn't have enough intelligence to ask, aviv melamdo, his father or mother teach him, or his ganenet, manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot, prompting him to ask questions. Then the father slash leader of the Seder is in charge with telling the story of the Exodus, and the main portion, as I've said many times, comes from the recitation of the person who brings Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, and it's found in the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo, with the words Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayma, summarizing in brief sentences the whole history. The Mishnah says that the person leading the Seder is Doresh Me Arami Oved Avi. He analyzes the verses from Arami Oved Avi until he finishes the entire portion. Look in the Haggadah and you'll see that we don't do that. There are five verses in the recitation of the Bikurim Bringer. We say four of them at the Seder. We analyze them, we darshan them, explain them, elaborate upon them, but we don't finish the portion. The Parsha is finished with one more verse. The Bikurim Bringer is standing with his basket of Bikurim first fruits in the temple, and he says in front of the Kohen, Vayivienu el hamakom hazeh, and God brought us to this place, and these are the fruits, and I'm thrilled and delighted to be here. We don't say that at the Seder table. We hold that off. Shavuot is not only Zman Matan Toratenu, but it is also Yom HaBikurim, and perhaps it represents the culmination of the process, which only begins at the Seder. Now, my problem, put the word in quotes, because I'm not challenging the editors of the Haggadah, I am wondering if historically we said it one way and a different way when we had a Beit HaMikdash or not, but I am seeing an unfortunate split that is perpetuated by Jews around the world between thanking God for taking us out of Egypt and giving us the Torah, and seeing the promise of coming to the Holy Land and getting that as a heritage somehow a little bit disconnected. And my point is, it shouldn't be disconnected. And in order to prove that, I ask you to go back with me to Parshat Shemot, last week's Torah reading, and read with me, or listen to me read, a very, very important verse in my eyes. God is speaking to Moshe at the burning bush. He has said a few things to him so far, and he says, I have heard the cries of the people, and I'm reacting to them. Vo'ered lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim ulhaloto min ha'oretz hahi el eretz tova urchava el eretz zavat chalav udvash el mekom hakenani v'hachiti v'ha'emori v'ha'prizi v'ha'chivi v'ha'yevusi. A single verse, non-stop, a single verse, not three verses, in English, I shall descend to rescue it, meaning the people, from the hand of Egypt, and to bring it up to the land that is good and spacious, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. If you look at that verse, that in a single pasuk, in a single sentence, is God's plan. I will go down there, doesn't even say Mitzrayim. It says, I will save them from the hand of the Egyptians. But he says, I will go down to that land and bring them up. And here there's no question that we're talking about a conjunctive vav to a land. Now look at how the description, it's a threefold description, which is extremely unusual. Eretz tova urchava, eretz zavat chalav udvash, mekom hakenani v'hachiti v'hamori v'hprizi v'hachivi v'hayevusi. That is a mouthful. If bringing them to Eretz Yisrael, bringing us to Eretz Yisrael, is a later part of the plan, if it is a separate part of the plan, this is too elaborate for that. This is part of the original words of God to Moshe. A couple of verses later, he says, proof that I am sending you to take the people out is that after you bring them out, you will come here to Mount Sinai and the people will serve me here, which means the whole revelation at Sinai. But that isn't even the plan. The plan is taking us out of Egypt and bringing us to Eretz Yisrael, and on the way to give us the Torah to make this commitment between God and the people of Israel. To me, that should never be forgotten. That is what ties the prophecy from the beginning of Vayera together. And that is a message for Jews today who say, as I've often commented, quote, we have everything we need for a full Jewish life here in, and you get to fill in whatever community you want. Teaneck, New Jersey, the Five Towns, Muncie, Borough Park, Golders Green, Paris, or anywhere. That statement, we have everything we need, and I heard it with my own ears, we have everything we need for a full, complete Jewish life here in wherever. That is creating a split between the Hotzeiti v'Hitzalti v'Goalti of the Exodus and the V'lokachti etchem li'la'am v'iti lachem le'lokim v'idatem, separating that part from the Heveti, and I will bring you to a land that I promised your ancestors, and I will give it to you. That separation is harmful to us. The connection is Eretz Yisrael, La'am Yisrael, Al-Pi Torat Yisrael, the land of Israel, to the Jewish people, to live according to the Torah of Israel. That is my message for Vo'era. There are other things in the Parsha. Parsha brings us through the first seven plagues, three more to go in Parshat Bo before we get out of Egypt. But this, to me, is a crucial way of looking at things which every Jew today should take very seriously. I'm going to wish you a Shabbat Shalom now and a Chodesh Tov, and finish off the show with a piece of Avi Barak from an album about the Pesach Seder. This song, Avadim Hayinu, which sort of describes where we're holding in Parshat Vayera until next week when we will actually be redeemed. So right now, we're still Avadim, and we'll see how far the song takes us. L'hishtameah.
Faroi be Mitzrayim, Avodim Hayinu, Faroi be Mitzrayim, Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu, Mishom beyod chazoko. Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Avodim Hayinu Lefaroi Bemitzrayim Avodim Hayinu Lefaroi Bemitzrayim Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Beyod Chazoko Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu